Your word, Father, is more important to us than our necessary food. For your word gives unto us life, gives unto us freedom, gives unto us the power to live, to stand. Your word produces in us hope. Your word generates in us faith. Your word produces in us the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. You being a living God, Lord, we know that you have a message for us, something you want us to hear, something you want us to understand. Something particular you want to say to us today that's important to us. In the name of Jesus, Father, we say that we are open to receive it, that we eagerly anticipate the word that you would minister to us today. I present my body a living sacrifice, Lord, unto you. And I ask you to use me to bring forth your message. As a congregation, we present ourselves to you, Father, as hungry children thirsting after the word of the Almighty God. Speak to us that encouragement, that instruction, that correction that we need. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This is rather an unusual day for me. Normally, we come into the service, I know exactly what the Lord is trying to get over. Today is a day that I have a passage of Scripture, I have several passages of Scripture, but I believe that I'm going to get God's message as you get it. We're going to get it all at the same time. Now, if this had been several years ago, we would have to play some background music to cover the knocking of my knees so that you wouldn't know. But I know in whom I have believed. And I have confidence in the one who called me, and I have assurance that he will perfect that which concerneth me. This much I know, that times like this are precious to the Lord. Mostly during the week, we are running hither, thither, and yon, and we don't have time to sit down and quietly wait upon the Lord and let him speak to us. Did you know God will talk to you? Do you know he'll speak to you every day of your life? Do you know that he'll give you direction, and he'll give you guidance, he'll give you comfort, he'll give you encouragement, he'll give you instruction? Most of us don't ever give him an opportunity to speak. We're so busy that we don't take time for him. One thing I found out about the Lord is that he does not barge in on what you're doing. He'll let you go do your own thing until you get ready, until we get ready to listen to him. And so these times are precious to the Lord. The fact that his people would come away, would leave their houses and leave their work and leave their whatever else would occupy them and come to the house of God and say, here I am, Lord, speak to me. Let me hear your word. It's a precious time. And so the Lord would not let it go by without speaking something of value to us. I'm going to read a passage to begin with from the book of Habakkuk. No, that is not a chewing tobacco. Poor fella, have a name like, I'm sure it's a good name, probably has a good meaning. But thank God mine's Victor. Aren't you glad your dad didn't name you Habakkuk? Habakkuk, you'll have to forgive me. But it's not your James, John, William, and Robert, is it? Now Habakkuk is in the Old Testament, towards the back of the Old Testament. If you found Micah and Nahum and then Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi, it's in that batch there. Now, Habakkuk is only a couple of pages, and so it's easy to miss it, to kind of go right through it. Habakkuk is quite a good book. It's not one that's very often read or preached from. There are two passages in it that you will hear preaching from. One is I'm going to share this morning is from the second chapter. There's a marvelous passage in the third chapter that one of these days I would like to do something with. Habakkuk was a prophet in Israel, and it was at a time when God's people were involved in very much wickedness. And in the first few verses of chapter 1, Habakkuk is crying out to God. And he said, God, why did you show me the wickedness of the people? Why have you let me see what they're doing? Why have you made me aware of their grievance and of their strife and of their contention? Why do you let me see those things? It makes me feel so bad. I'm miserable over it. And then he said, what are you going to do about it, God? You can't let this go on. What action are you going to take to straighten your people out? God begins to speak to him in the fifth verse and told him that he was going to send the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and that the Babylonians would come against Israel and take them captive. And then Habakkuk said, well, I see that, but why would you use a people more wicked than our own to bring judgment on us? He doesn't understand what God's doing. He's confused about the information that the Lord has given him. And in the last part of chapter number 1, he lays his petition down to God and he said, now, I want to understand these things. And I require you to tell me what on earth is going on. I want to know some answers. In the first part of chapter number 2, he runs up in a watchtower. And he said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. In other words, I'm going to stay right here in this watchtower. And I'm going to wait for God's answer, and we're going to have this discussion back and forth. I'm going to see what he has to say to me in answer to my question. I tell you, this is bold praying. And then after God tells me his side of it, then we'll see what I'm going to say. In verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. While I was sitting here and the choir was singing just a moment ago, the Lord spoke to me these words. He said, nobody likes a quitter. I don't either. Nobody likes a quitter. I don't either. His instructions to Habakkuk are these. Now, Habakkuk, I'm going to answer your question and I'm going to show you as much as you're able to understand. Write it down. I'm going to show you what's going to come to pass. Write it down so that those that have to bring it to pass will be able to read it. And then he said, even if there's a long delay before what my revelation and my word and my vision, what I've said, if there's a long delay between the time, what I've promised and the actual manifestation of it, don't you worry about it. When it comes to pass, it will speak for itself, and people will know that I always produce my word. It won't lie. It'll speak for itself. When they see it happen, they will know that it was the word of God. And no matter how long it takes, though it tarry, you wait for it because it will come. It won't tarry forever. It will come to pass. If I spoke it, it will happen. In the book of Numbers, there are two scriptures. One is in the 11th chapter, and one in the 23rd. Where God Himself speaks concerning this. Numbers 11 and verse number 23, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not." In other words, Moses, do you think that I'm not able to do what I said? Do you think that I cannot do it, that my hand is too short? That I'm not strong enough, powerful enough, wise enough, or able enough to do what I said? And then in the 23rd chapter, through the lips of Balaam, these words in the 19th verse, "God is not a man that he should lie." One of the problems I think that we have with God is that we relegate him to what our experience has been with other men. And we know that you can't always depend upon the word of men. God is not a man that he should say one thing and do another, or say one thing and not bring it to pass. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He said, Habakkuk, you go ahead and write down what I show you. Go ahead and put it down on a piece of paper. And don't you be concerned, no matter how long it takes for that thing to come to pass. If I said it, I will bring it to pass. Though it seems to be an unbearably long time, it will happen. It will come to pass. And then he said, the man whose soul is lifted up in him, the man whose soul is so filled with selfishness and pride, who he would say, this will never happen. God said that man is not upright. But a man that will be just and a man that will live for God is going to exist on his faith. He's got to live by the word of God, whether he sees it or not. The just shall live by what they believe. Now, if you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Paul quoted this passage of Scripture in Hebrews 10, and he amplified it. And gave us a little better insight. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 35 and following, you will recognize. As we begin to read this, you'll recognize he's quoting Habakkuk 2. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't throw away your assurance, because that confident assurance is what has the reward in it. Continue to believe what God said, no matter what you see. No matter what you hear, no matter what you feel, don't throw away your confidence in the Word of God. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Over in the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 2, I believe it is, where Peter says, in the last days there shall come scoffers and mockers. And they will say, where is his coming? You all that said that Jesus is coming soon, where is his coming? Paul said here, yet a little while and he that shall come will come, and he won't tarry. If God says he's coming, he's coming. If the Lord declared he's on his way, he's on his way. Regardless of what the world says and regardless of what your feelings say. Now the just shall live by faith. But look at this next part. But if any man draw back, you know what it means to draw back? To be a quitter. If any man decides, I'm not waiting. If any man says, I don't believe that God's hand is long enough to bring this promise to pass. Yes, I know He promised it. But I don't believe it'll ever happen. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. But it's not going to happen the way He said. I must have misunderstood Him somewhere. Or there's some reason why He can't produce on His promise. God said, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Nobody likes a quitter, including the Lord. Nobody likes a quitter, including the Lord. God says, I have given my word, I've given my promise. I want you to believe it, even though you don't yet see it. Even though the child dies, I want you to believe what I said. There's some scripture in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. You're right there in the neighborhood. Let me show you something about faith. We've heard so much about faith, but we haven't heard it all. Now watch this. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What is he saying? Is this the inspired word of God? Is that verse inspired? Does it say that they died in faith? Can a person die in faith? Can a person be in faith and still not have the promise? Can he? Says that, doesn't it? They died still believing. Now, what were they believing? What did Abraham believe? Abraham believed that God had given him a land, didn't he? Abraham believed that God had given him a people that were greater than the number of the stars in the heaven. But did he have them? Did he have them? He died believing what? That he had them. That as far as he was concerned, it was his because God promised it. He couldn't see it with his eyes. He couldn't hear it with his ears. He couldn't feel it with his hands. But God said it, and that was good enough for him. And he died still believing it. We heard about a little girl here tonight, today, who died believing. I don't know. I understand everything I know about that. But she said, people who believe in God for healing should never forget Him, never sin against His will. Believe in God, believe in Jesus, you will be healed. She said, believe in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Praise God and turn your life over to God. And then she said, don't be so worried about yourselves that you forget to love your neighbor more than yourself. And even your enemies. And teach the ones who don't know. These died in faith, not having received the promises. Same chapter, verse number 39. I've been troubled with these two verses for a long time. I'm still just a little bit troubled with them, if you want to know the truth. But they're in here. These all, having obtained a good report through what? Having obtained a good report through faith, received what? That doesn't sound like faith, does it? Well, I mean, seriously, does it or doesn't it? Doesn't sound like faith at all. But the Bible says it is. Does your Bible say that? It says that they didn't receive the promise, but they had a good report through their faith. They believed that they had it regardless of what they saw. Does that make sense to you? Somebody say yes. What's the Lord trying to say? You're believing God for your healing. You believe God for your healing every day of your life. And the day you draw your last breath, the last thing you say is, I believe God for my healing. Does that make sense to you? If you're believing God for the healing of your marriage, every day you believe in God for the healing of my marriage, I believe God for the healing of my marriage. And when the attorney comes with a divorce paper, I believe God for the healing of my marriage. When the judge grants the decree, I believe God for the healing of my marriage. When your wife takes you for everything you've got, or your husband takes you for everything he's got, you've got, I believe God for the healing of my marriage. When he gets married to somebody else, I believe God for the healing of my marriage. When you draw your last breath, I believe God for the healing of my marriage and obtain a good report by faith, even though you die not having received the promise. Now that's what it means that the just shall live by faith. That's what it means, that those who know God and love God shall live according to their faith, regardless of what the circumstances are, and that is the ultimate test. Is it? When you're dying, and you don't have the promise, what are you saying with your mouth? Well, I guess God just didn't want to heal me. Well, I guess God didn't want to put my marriage back together again. When your teenage boy is picked up by the police for the fourth time, well, I guess God just didn't want to set my boy free. When you've lost your third job in 3 months, well, I guess God didn't want to prosper me. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Because my people are faith people. My people believe what I said, regardless of what it looks like. Here's a faith person right here. You're a faith person, aren't you? You had many opportunities not to believe God, didn't you? Aren't you glad she's a faith person? Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you one now? Amen. 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 The just shall live by their faith, and those that are really believers don't draw back for anything. No matter what it is. Are you believing God for something that hasn't come to pass yet? I think most of you, let me see your hands, if you've got something you're believing God for that you haven't seen yet. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like this. Some of you two-handed. The just live based on what they believe. Is God God or isn't he? Did you get the promise of God? Did he say it? Did he write it down on the pages of this book? Did he say that you could have a happy home? Did he say that you could have children with great peace? Did he say that you could have a marriage that was whole and complete? Did he say that you could have a whole body and a whole mind? Did he say that you could have all of your needs met? Did he say that you could have life and have it more abundantly? Didn't he? Aren't all those promises in there? We're not all walking in them, though, are we? But we're believing for them, aren't we? Every one of them, we're believing for them. Nobody likes a quitter, not even God. And Paul said, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe the saving of the soul. Nobody likes a quitter, Paul said, but we're not quitters. Hallelujah. We don't quit on God. Whatever he said, he'll bring to pass. What he said about you and what he said about me, it'll come to pass. What he said about your family, it'll come to pass. What he said about this church, it'll come to pass. And if you draw back on God, if I draw back on God, if we draw back on God, his soul have no pleasure in us. And we will not obtain a good report. That make sense? Does to me. Bow your heads, please. Father, that's real simple what you had to say. Real clear. Very understandable. I see how important it is, Lord, that even when it's easy to believe, when we actually see the evidence. Because that's not real faith. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. I see how important it was for men like Abraham, the father of faith. 25 years he waited for the birth of a son. Some of us don't seem to be able to make it 2 or 3 weeks. 25 years. And it was imputed unto him as righteousness, his belief. He staggered not at the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith. The more he believed, the stronger he grew. And even when he died, when he passed on, the promise was still in the process of coming to pass. It was hundreds of years before there were very many of his descendants, and thousands of years before they numbered like the stars in the heavens. But he obtained a good report of you, Father, because he died in faith, believing that what you said you would do, and that when he made you his Lord, his life began then and it would never end, and that he would see the promise come to pass, if not in this life, in the next, because his death was not the end of his existence. His death was not the end of his life. It was just a change in his residence. It was just a change in his circumstances. And he did not look upon his death as the end of all things. He looked beyond. He recognized that he was just a stranger and a pilgrim here. That his life on the other side of death was just as important, if not more so, than the life on this side. And so while he didn't receive the promise over here, he got it over there. Let all of us, Lord, see that clearly. Grow us, Father, in faith. Deepen in us our confidence that we don't cast it away. We've done everything that we know how to do. We'd stand fast on your promise. And even death. Knowing that even death does not void the promises of God. Hallelujah. We love you, Father, so very much. We don't ever want you to not have pleasure in us. We see the only thing that could cause you to draw back from us, to cause you to not have pleasure in us, or for you to be provoked at us, is because we don't believe. We see that that was the only reason that the children of Israel could not enter Canaan. It's the only reason why we cannot obtain the blessings that you have provided for us in your word. You have written them down carefully and you have said, believe them, believe them, believe them, believe them, act like you believe them, live like you believe them. Though it seems to tarry and though it doesn't seem to be coming to pass, it will come to pass. We renew our covenant with you this morning, our Father. Renew our commitment to believe what you have said. For we realize that true faith continues to believe, does not know failure, does not know quit, but believes until, continues to believe until the thing unseen becomes seen. That for true Bible faith, there is no option. And there's no stopping until that which is believed for is reality. then faith becomes sight. And that's the only time true faith quits, when it becomes sight. Mature us in true Bible faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray.